Grizzlies likely want to hold and get a good look at the basket. A final shot or send it to overtime if they can't make it. Reynolds has it, feeding to McBill. Right side, lane line jumper from Cooper. Rolls off. Rebound for Welchel. Put back good. 2.4 on the clock. Timeout called by Lakeside. They will likely add more time to the clock, but Eli Welchel with a rebound and put back for Rock Hills to put the Grizzlies back up by two. Welchel has eight. It's 46-44 Rock Hills. 3.1 on the clock, 46-44. Rock Hills the lead. Grizzlies looking to finish off the upset win here. Inbound play, Christine. Over the top, he threw it away. It's taken away by Welchel. He gets away from the defense, and the foul will not happen before the buzzer sounds. That is the ball game. Rock Hills wins 46-44 as the Grizzlies move to the semifinal. They will face Clifton Clyde at home next Thursday.
Barnburner last night in Downs. Dusty with the call on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. Rock Hills boys a 6 seed. Knocks off the 3 seed Lakeside by 2, 46-44. Have more on that game coming up in just a little bit. We'll go through the scores from last night, look ahead to tonight's basketball activity as well. But right now, we turn it over to Dusty for state wrestling. Day one in the books, day two today, and day three tomorrow.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept and format here for the state tournament. Everything went really fast in the rounds yesterday because they did three rounds, but the second two were at the same time. So they got in and off the mats and quickly got through everything yesterday. They're kind of looking at our area. On the girls' side is where we started. Casey Harrodsburg of Smith Center went 0-2 for the day, 14-15 on the season here as a freshman. So she finished out her first year as a wrestler there, day one of the state tournament. We will not have any more girls coverage as far as those are concerned, as the reports are concerned, because Casey was our only area wrestler, and she's not in the tournament anymore. But you can find all the girls' information for 4 through 1A state tournament at ncksports.com. Boys side, 3-2-1-8, all but one wrestler still alive after day one. Four have made it to the semis and guaranteed themselves to hit the medal stand. 113 pounds, Brogan Monty of Beloit went 2-0 on day one. Brody Boudreaux went 2-0 at 215 for Beloit. Luke Franklin of Smith Center, 190 pounds, was 2-0 on the day. And Carson Montgomery of Smith Center went 2-0 as well at 285. 150 pounds, Parker Hutchinson got a nice upset win in the first round, so he's 1-1 after a loss in the quarterfinals. 150, Parker Hutchinson of Smith Center, Caden Schultz of Osmond at 157, and Gannon McCoy of Smith Center at 157, both went 1-1 on day one. And Alec Huck of Sylvan Lucas at 190 pounds, 1-1. Eli Franklin of Smith Center had to face the number one wrestler in the state in the second round, so he will not repeat as a state champion as he lost in the quarterfinals there and goes to the backside of the bracket there at 215. And Grant Middleton of Lakeside at 215 pounds was our only area wrestler that unfortunately saw his tournament come to a close there on Thursday as he went 0-2. He had a 11-9 sudden victory loss in the first round and then ended up losing by a fall on the backside of the bracket there in the consolation first round. So Grant Middleton of Lakeside goes 36-14 on his sophomore season. Again, nine wrestlers still alive here in the tournament. We'll have more coverage of the state tournament today. 3-2-1-8 boys tournament picks back up at 2 o'clock this afternoon with consolation second round matches followed by the championship semis, and then the consolation quarters will round out day two. Again, we'll have reports each half hour starting a little after 2 o'clock and into our basketball coverage if we need it tonight. They're going to run the same format that they did and run two rounds at the same time yesterday. We likely may be done by the time basketball starts, or even by the time I would have to leave for basketball tonight. So just stay tuned, and we'll keep you up to date during our reports on how the time schedule looks and where we're headed from that area. So again, you can listen to the reports this afternoon on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. Things start at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Everybody's together tomorrow. 4A boys, 4 through 1A girls, 3-2-1A boys, kind of all wrestling simultaneously tomorrow on the final day of that state tournament there in Solana at Tony's Pizza Event Center. So that's your update on state wrestling. High school hoops, we'll turn our attention there and give you an update on what happened last night. 1A boys Division 1 sub-state games, again at the Rock Hills Regional. Rock Hills winning over Lakeside 46-44. I'll recap that one real quick. Again, it was a tight game. Lakeside led 7-4 after one. They extended their lead out to 21-13 at one point in the second quarter, but Rock Hills finished with the last 6 points of the second quarter, and a three-pointer from Tristan Reynolds right before the buzzer at halftime got it down to a two-point game, and then Rock Hills outscored Lakeside 13-9 in the second quarter to take a 32-30 lead. It was back and forth from there, and a couple ties late. late. It was Eli Welchel that gave Rock Hills a 42-40 lead, and then Jace Cunningham tied it up with a layup to make it 42-42. And then Tristan Reynolds hits a floater in the middle of the lane with 30 seconds left to give Rock Hills the lead back, and Lakeside calls a timeout. Cunningham takes the baseline and gives Lakeside a bucket and ties it back up at 44 with 13 seconds left is when about 12 seconds left is when Rock Hills took the timeout. And then they drew something up. Cooper McDill got to the lane, missed the shot, but Eli Welchel was right there for the rebound and putback, and he scores there for Rock Hills and makes it 46-44. 3 seconds were remaining on the clock. Lakeside had the chance that you heard earlier, and Eli Welchel stepped in front of a pass that went across half court and over the head of the intended target and was able to get the steal and clinch the win for Rock Hills, 46-44. As the Grizzlies were led by Cooper McDill with 24, Tristan Reynolds had 10. They were our co-athletes of the game from SNS Drug and Home Health in Beloit. Reynolds also our utility player of the game from CenCon of Kansas, and the connection of the game from Cunningham Telephone and Cable went on the assist from Tristan Reynolds. Eli Welchel on the play that put Rock Hills up 42-40 there in the fourth quarter. So again, those are some of the awards and standouts. Rock Hills is now 7-12. They ended a 6-game losing streak to Lakeside, and as we said on the broadcast there, they move on to play Clifton Clyde in the semifinals next Thursday. Our block of the game from H&R Block and Boyd went to Jordan Schoen for Lakeside. The Knights finished their season at 9-9. They were led by Jace Cunningham with 13, and Reese Remus added 11. Once again, Rock Hills gets that win. Lakeside finishes their season last night. Other scores, Frankfort beat Washington County 44-19, so Frankfort will move on to play Osborne next Thursday, so it'll be Rock Hills against Clifton Clyde, Frankfort against Osborne. Sylvan Lucas won 52-16 in their first round of the Solomon Substate at home. They'll move on to play Canton Galva next week. 1A Division II boys Substate, we had three area teams that saw their seasons come to a close. A tough loss for Thunder Ridge out at Golden Plains, 63-62 on the boys' side. Blue Valley Randolph beat Pike Valley 64-47, and Southern Cloud saw their season come to a close at 82-22 loss to Lynn. So those are the scores from last night's action. If you ever miss any of the scores, you can find them all at ncksports.com. High school hoops continuing tonight. We have girls sub-state games in Class 1A this evening. And we'll start with our game on Katy Country 94. The Lakeside Lady Knights, number 6 seed. They hit the road to Clyde to take on number 3 Clifton Clyde. Lady Knights are 5-12. The Lady Eagles come in at 15-5. A very solid season so far for Clifton Clyde. And we had a chance to catch up with Lakeside coach Scott Germark, and he knows his team has a challenge in front of them tonight.
The team speed stands out, you know, and you got the Wirtz girls. They really stand out. And they're going to do, you know, what St. John's does and Osborne does. You know, they're going to try to push the ball up the floor. They're going to pressure you. And for us, really, the key to the game is we're going to have to muddy up the game, you know, take time, make them really work on defense.
Lakeside and Clifton Clyde tonight. Again, Clifton Clyde will be the favorite in this one without question, but Lakeside looking to maybe go in and what the Rock Hills boys did to their boys last night and pick up an upset on the road. It'll be a tough task for Lakeside this evening. Again, at Clifton Clyde, we'll have pregame coverage 6:50 and tip off at 7 o'clock from Clyde tonight on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. The other game in that 1A Division I Rock Hills Substate in the quarterfinals is Rock Hills, the 4 seed, hosting 5th seed Washington County, and that's at 7 o'clock as well. And then the buys are to Frankfort, the number 1, and Osborne, the number 2. They have the night off and will await the winners of those games. The winner of the Lakeside-Clifton-Clyde game will be who Osborne will face coming up next Friday. So that's a look at 1A-D1 there at Rock Hills. 1A-D1 Solomon Substate, Sylvan Lucas at home tonight against Rural Vista in the first round. Division 2 Golden Plains Substate, Thunder Ridge is hosting Natoma this evening. The Blue Valley Randolph Division 2 Substate, Pike Valley has actually got a buy as the number 2 seed. Southern Cloud is at Axtell tonight. And in the Stafford Substate, 1A Division 2. St. John's Tipton has a bye as well. You can find these full brackets because there's just not enough time to go through them all at ncksports.com. You can find the links there and see where everybody's at with Substate basketball. So that puts a wrap on what's going on right now in the world of hoops as far as Substate is concerned. They're in Class 1A. 3A Substate will start next week, and the Beloit Trojan boys will be on the court coming up on Monday, and when they take the court, they will have this week's Boys Athlete of the Week taking the court for them. So Beloit senior Noah Gerstner has been named the NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. He's been a long-distance marksman a good portion of the season, but over the past two games, he's taken his three-point prowess to another level, shooting 50% from deep and making a combined 11 three-pointers in two wins for Beloit. Last Friday, he buried five three-pointers and scored 17 points, 58-25 win over Minneapolis at home, which enabled Beloit to complete an undefeated league season. And then on Tuesday, Gerst reported a career-high 24 points, drilled six threes that tied his career-high in a game. Also added four steals, three assists in the 78-49 win at Smith Center. Beloit improved to 19-1 on the season. In the two victories, Gerstner averaged 20.5 points, three assists, three steals, and shot 50% from deep at 11 of 22. For the season, Gerstner averaging 11 points, shooting 40% from beyond the arc. He's made 58 three-pointers while shooting 86% from the free throw line. He has 134 three-pointers in his career as a Trojan. So congratulations to Noah Gerstner, the NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week this week.
I've heard of him.
I thought you might have.
I've heard of him. You know, just quick thing. He's put in the work. You know, I know firsthand. I've watched him. He, you know, he's had a basketball in his hand for a very long time when he was little, and he's always enjoyed basketball, and he's always been a pretty good shooter, really good form, and he has put in the work. He's played a lot of basketball. He has practiced a ton. He's been in the gym a ton. And whether it's my son or anybody else, I really love to see kids that put in the extra work and get rewarded for it. And there's no doubt, you know, Bryce Beisner has done that. Noah's done that. There's certainly other kids on the team that have done that. I don't want to single out everybody or in particular, but there's two seniors that have definitely played a lot of basketball during the summer, traveling basketball, lots of practices, so forth and so on. And then on top of that, they still get in the gym and work on their game outside of practice time. And that's one thing that I try to tell the young kids that I'm coaching. And way back in the day, I helped coach my son in sports, my oldest and now my youngest. And that is, if you want to get better as a player, you have to do more than just show up at practice, participate in practice, and then practice ends. You have to do more, because you will not get ahead unless you've got just the amazing God-given ability where you don't have to do anything and you just are naturally gifted, and not too many of us are from that standpoint.
Yeah.
So proud of him for the work he's put in. He's being rewarded for that hard work. Sometimes you probably felt that you weren't being rewarded, or it wasn't as successful as you were hoping for, but in the long run, it certainly paid off for him and for many others that you know of personally, I'm sure, out there that are listening. You know the kids that have put in the time, and you know the kids that maybe haven't. And there are those that believe that their kids are entitled when they don't put in the work compared to kids that have put in the work. And if you can't tell listen, it's pretty easy to see right away the kids that put in the extra work and the kids that don't. It stands out like a sore thumb if you really follow sports. And so you're not entitled to anything. But I will say that if you put in the extra work and bust your butt, odds are you're going to have a chance to play. I will say that. Doesn't mean you're entitled to start, not entitled to so many minutes, but you've got a much better chance to play if you put in that extra work outside of practice time. So proud of Noah, and congratulations to him on that honor. You can read about that at ncksports.com. Baseball, spring training. The Royals start spring training today. Baseball's here, baby. High school baseball begins Monday. And the spring practices begin on Monday, even though we're still in winter sports wrapping up all that. So it's just one season right into another. Coming up in 30 seconds, we'll take a look at Big 12 basketball.
I'm Elijah at Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. Did you know that we sell tires? We also perform alignments and all the other services that go along with them. We handle all the top brands, extras like road hazard warranty, complimentary tire rotations, and complimentary tire repairs are available for purchase on most tires. Right now, we are offering $80 off when you buy a set of four. Call or stop by Kiever Brothers Automotive for fast, friendly tire services today. Find us just south of the courthouse in Beloit or on the web at KieferBrothers.com.
They have one guy that shoots quite a few, and he makes a lot of the ones he shoots. So, yeah, we got to come up with some way to stay connected and still yet do a good job on ball screen defense. I think we can. It's not the first time we've had to deal with that, but certainly DeSue shoots it. This year, he's shooting it probably about as well as any big that I can remember shooting it over a course of a season. So he's a handful.
KU head coach Bill Self talking about Texas forward Dylan Dessous, averaging 17 points. He's shooting 55% from three. And yes, that's tough to defend, no doubt, for a big guy. Number 9, Kansas, back on the court at home against Texas tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. Pregame at 4:30 on Z96.3 Lake, your home for the Jayhawks, North Central Kansas. KU 20-6, 8-5 in the Big 12. Texas 17-9, 6-7 in Big 12 play. And Kansas has had a week off in between games. We'll talk to Brian Haney if it was a good time to have that break for KU. K-State welcomes number 25 BYU to Manhattan. Cougars won the first meeting with the Wildcats by 6 in Provo 2 weeks ago. Rematch has K-State hoping to get back on track. They've lost 7 of the last 8. They're 15-11 overall, 5-8 in the Big 12. BYU is 19-7, 7-6 in the Big 12. Tip-off set for 1 o'clock tomorrow on ESPN+. The game of the weekend in the Big 12, number 2 Houston, who is alone in first place at 10-3 in the conference, will be at number 11 Baylor, who's 8-5 in conference play. It's 11 a.m. tomorrow morning on CBS. Number 6 Iowa State hosting West Virginia at 1 o'clock. Cincinnati's at TCU at 2. Number 23 Texas Tech goes to Central Florida at 3 o'clock. And Oklahoma is at Oklahoma State at 3 o'clock. And if Baylor, if you're a KU fan, you think you have a shot at a Big 12 title, you need to be cheering for Baylor to win that game. Because if Baylor wins and they're at home, then you would have a situation where Houston would only be a game up on Baylor. Iowa State could be retied at the top, and if KU wins, they're only a game out of first place.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Yeah. It's
And then KU's got a home game against BYU. Of course, at home, they're favored. And if you can go to Baylor and steal one, it could come down to KU at Houston, as many people thought before the year, to decide who wins the Big 12. So KU's not out of this race yet. But they need Baylor to win tonight. If Houston win tonight, that's a big, big feather in their cap.
Oh, for sure. Get road wins in this conference, and it helps you out immensely.
Against anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Unranked or ranked. In the AAC, Wichita State's 11-16, 3-11 in Paul Mills' first year. But I think he'll get it done. It's going to take some time. They're hosting 9-17 Temple at 3 o'clock on ESPN. In women's hoops, the second Sunflower Showdown matchup of the season takes place in Lawrence coming up on Sunday. Number 10 K-State, fresh off their overtime win over West Virginia, will be in Lawrence. They're 23-4, tied for second in the Big 12 at 12-3, and look to stay in the race for the conference title against KU. Had won 5 in a row until they lost to Baylor earlier this week. Tip-off 1 o'clock on ESPN2. This Sunday afternoon, K-State at KU. Well, with free agency looming, Chiefs punter Tommy Townsend could be headed to another team. We stress could be. He is a free agent to be. Yesterday, the Chiefs signed former Bills draft pick Matt Areza. Areza didn't play in 2023. He was part of a lawsuit alleging the rape of a 17-year-old girl in 2021. But this past December, he was dismissed from the suit. Areza said in a statement through his agent, "I am proud and honored to sign a contract with the Chiefs. I am thrilled to be able to continue my career in the NFL. I am excited to begin the next phase of my career with the Super Bowl champs." Areza was a sixth-round pick by the Bills out of San Diego State in 2022, but was released due to the legal issues before ever playing a snap in NFL. The 23-year-old will now look to make the Chiefs roster after a historical college career where he broke multiple NCAA records at San Diego State as a punter. He averaged an FBS record 51.4 yards per punt in 2021. He had 6 punts of 70 yards or more. To put that in perspective, there were only 14 punts of 70 yards or more last year by every NFL punter combined. Areza also boomed an 86-yard punt in 2021, which was the longest in college football that season. Now, Tommy Townsend, he's been a pretty good punter for the Chiefs, had a slightly down year in 2023. He was coming off 2 seasons where he was one of the best punters in the league. He finished 2nd in the NFL in net yards per punt in 2021. He topped that in 2022, led the league with a net average of 45.6. No other punter in the NFL even came within a yard of that total. And then last year, dipped a little bit. His 22 average was tied for the 2nd highest net punting average since 1976. This past season, Townsend's net average dropped to 41.8, which ranked him just outside the top 15. Listen, I think this is a smart move by the Chiefs. Anybody that's going to get all riled up about Matt Areza in regards to off the field, listen, this was taken care of. You're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. That's how we're supposed to run this country in our justice system. But nowadays, we just take anything and we say it's a fact. And if some people in society were in charge of everything, there would be no due process. You would just go ahead and throw the person behind the slammer and you throw away the key. That's not how it's supposed to be at all. So I don't have a problem with the Chiefs doing this. It's a cheap investment. Mm-hmm. It has a high risk to it. I don't think there's a lot to lose here. Tommy Townsend's a free agent. I believe he has Rosenhaus now as his agent, which means that could be tougher to deal with because Rosenhaus is known to be tough to deal with. And Tommy Townsend, his numbers did decline a little bit as a punter. Now, the question I have, and astute Chiefs fans will point this out, and there are many of you out there that did point this out, and it was my first thought as well, who's going to be the holder for Harrison Butker, because Townsend had an unbelievable hold for that 57-yarder in the Super Bowl, which was huge. So who's going to be the holder for the Chiefs if Townsend's not the punter? It looks on the surface that the Chiefs are saying, we're going to have to pay Chris Jones or Legarius Sneed, get Bolton extension, go upgrade the wide receiver core. They've got needs. The Chiefs still have needs. They got lots of free agents. They've got money they got to figure out how they're going to spend. And this is what we talked about the other day. Do you spend too much money on a punter? And usually you don't. And in this case, I think the Chiefs are hedging their bet here. Like, Araiza got a chance to win the job. If Tommy Townsend's affordable and we bring him back, then we'll have a good competition. If we can't afford Tommy Townsend, then and his price is too high, we've got a guy that we think could be a really good punter in this league. When you get a punter that's drafted, don't worry about what round of the draft they were drafted. When a punter is drafted, which rarely a punter is, when you're drafted, that means you're pretty dang good. And he was really, really good at San Diego State. So I think the punting part's not going to be an issue, whether Araiza's punting or Townsend's the punter of the Chiefs. And then, of course, they would not have two punters. They would cut Araiza. The question is, has Araiza held for kickers? One thing that Araiza can do, too, is he can kick field goals. So he is a guy that you won't have Justin Reed kicking extra points when Harrison Butker has a pulled hamstring or anything like that or a sore ankle. Araiza can kick extra points and field goals. He can punt, but I don't know if he can hold. And holding is an art. So Tommy Townsend, you know, will he? It looks like, I mean, the writing on the wall tells you that the Chiefs are planning on moving on without him. But at the same time, maybe they are thinking we still have a chance with him, but this is a guy that has too much talent to pass up. We might as well sign him. And if we keep Townsend, then we'll figure out what we're going to do. And worst case scenario, we cut Araiza, but at least we have him. And if it doesn't work out with Townsend, then we've got a guy that we think is going to be a really good punter. But I think most people would say Tommy Townsend probably not going to be the punter for the Chiefs unless, you know, something weird happens.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at the highest paid punter was Bradley Pinion for the Falcons, making $3.5 million this year. So if you don't want to put $4 million, probably, you know, with Rosenhaus as your agent, right?
Right.
If you don't want to put $4 million in salary on a punter, then this is probably where we're going, right?
I think so. So then the question then, again, for me, and might be even a bigger issue, that is who's going to hold? Because Butker had an unbelievable season. He was almost perfect. And they've had the same long snapper for basically all of Butker's career, the same long snapper in James Winchester.
Yep.
And they've had Townsend be the holder pretty much that entire time for the most part. Mm-hmm. So, and then there was a question about Townsend with the placement and holds. Was it last year or the year before? There was all kind of criticism of Townsend.
Yeah, because Butker was struggling and was hurt pretty much all year, too. Right. Never really did get completely healthy.
This year, nobody said anything about Townsend holding the ball, kind of like an official. When you don't talk about him, they must have done a great job. Apparently, Townsend was a great holder because nobody complained about anything, but they never said and gave him any credit until that great hold on that 57-yarder in Super Bowl 58. So we'll see if Townsend's a Chief in the future, but I think Dusty and I would say more than likely not. Unless something would happen to Araiza, and then maybe they'll scramble, or they probably just find a cheaper option, I would imagine.